Hello and welcome on Glory to God, for he is good and his love endures forever. Now, I am missing my microphone, so I should better get it right now. So I'll be right back. I'll be running to get my microphone. Where's my microphone? So that I can get a better audio with my microphone. I'm coming down stairs and I'm live right now. There it is. I found it. Here's my microphone. But, hey, all glory to God, for he is good, and he loves each one of you guys, and he never lets us down, and he's got good plans for us. And so, we praise him for another day, because each new day is a blessing from God, and we cannot take it for granted, because not each day is guaranteed. Life is not guaranteed, but when you believe in God, life eternal is guaranteed. When you walk in him, he will bless you. He will lead you. He will give you strength to get through each and every day. So amen. Hallelujah. We're working now. Back live and ready to go into the Word of God. Now I'm so excited to join you guys and be with you guys today, because we're reading about being strong. And we, as Christians, we're not weaklings. We're not weak sauce. We don't fall short. No. We are strong, and we are faithful in holiness, in righteousness. We are standing up against corruption. We are good, righteous citizens of heaven, and also where we are at. We're good men and women of God. And so, right now, we're diving right into Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 to 29. And so, let me ask you, what happens when corruption creeps into the church? It's not always blatant or sudden. It often is subtly. It's a toleration of sin that grows and faithfulness to Christ diminishes. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 to 29, Jesus speaks to this church called Thyatira. Yes. And he commends them for their love, for their faithfulness, but he rebukes them for tolerating of dangerous false teachers who lead some astray. And so here's the big question. Are you standing firm in holiness as God is calling you? Or are you tolerating sin in your life? Or are you continuing walking in the Lord? Jesus calls you to remain faithful, to reject corruption, and to hold fast to his truth, because he loves you and he cares for you, because he doesn't want the lies of the devil to cover you and to draw you to the wrong side, into slavery, into pain, into eternal suffering. And so let's read it into the Word of God, the Word of God, which is so, so good. It says, to the angels of the church in Thyatira, write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like the blazing fire, whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love, your faith, your service, and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, and by her teaching she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her the time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely, unless they repent of her ways. And I will strike her children dead, and then all the churches will know that I am he who searches the hearts and the mind, and I will repay each one of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teachings and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burdens on you except to hold on to what you have until I come. And to the one who is victorious and does the will to the end, I will give authority over the nations, and the one who rules them with iron scepter will dash them to pieces like pottery, just as I have received authority from my Father. And I will also give that one the morning star. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you for never letting us down. We thank you for allowing us to have this message to stay strong for you, to reject unholiness, to reject adultery, to reject the sin that is holding so many people down. Father God, I pray that you would allow us to see your face, to understand your word, and to get a great understanding of what you're saying here. We love you, God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So the context of this story, or this church in Thyatira, was a city known as trade guilds, and it was often required participation of pagan practices in order to do businesses. And that practice is like worshiping false idols or practicing in immoral rituals. And the church in Thyatira, they faced pressure to conform to the surrounding culture, leading some believers to compromise their faith. But Jesus, he addresses this church with both encouragement, but also a stern warning to avoid the dangers of tolerating sin within this community. And so today we're going to look at four main points. You're going to want to listen to the very end because the Word of God, it is alive, powerful, quick, and active, able to pierce the soul, spirit, into the mind, into the heart's intent, able to transform you in such a way that you will never imagine how you will be transformed into a better you, into an improved, and you will have a better relationship, better life, because of that is the power of God. Hello, Mia Smiles. Good morning to you. I'm so glad you're here. Glory to God. And so, the first point, it is that Jesus sees all. He sees everything. He knows everything. His eyes are like fire, his feet like bronze. And Jesus, he introduces himself as the Son of God, emphasizing his divine authority and sovereignty. His eyes are like that blazing fire, symbolizing his ability to see everything very clearly, including the hidden sins and the true condition of the heart. His feet is like burnished bronze, representing his strength, purity, and ability to crush evil and corruption. And this reminds us that Jesus, he sees everything. He sees your work, your deeds, your struggles, and even the sins that you try to hide. He knows all things. You cannot hide anything from him. And his purity, his justice will ensure that no sin will go unaddressed. And so we can see in verse 18 how the angels of the churches of that city, it writes, "These are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire, whose feet are like burnished bronze." He's powerful. He's strong. He sees all things. And we can praise God for that. We can trust him because he's so great. In verse 19, it says, "I know your deeds. I know your love, your faith, your service, your perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first." And Jesus, he's commending them. He's saying, "Great job, good and faithful servant. For their love, for their faith, service, and perseverance." And unlike the church of Ephesus, who has abandoned its first love, the believers in Thyatira was growing in their works and devotion to Christ. Praise the Lord. And their spiritual growth is something to be celebrated. And we should look into our life. Are we also living with love, living with faith and service and perseverance through the hard times? Are we still living our heart out for God? This teaches us that Jesus, he recognizes and values your faithfulness and your growth and your walk with him, your relationship with him. However, even in good works, it cannot excuse or tolerate any of the sins that is happening. And we see this in the next verses. But just think about where David says, "You search my heart, O Lord. You know me. You know when I sit down, when I rise, when I wake up." Just like God knows David's heart, Jesus knows everything in the church, and Jesus knows everything about you. Nothing is hidden from his sight. And so, we can keep our life accountable to him. "Lord, you know me, and I do everything to glorify you, and I strive to honor and glorify you in everything that I do, everything that I say, so that you can be glorified and lifted high." And so, do you live with awareness that Jesus sees everything in your life, both the good and bad stuff? His eyes are like the fire, which reminds you that he's both loving and holy. Now, just because he sees you, you don't have to let your past be defining who you are. Because Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary, and I'll give you rest." come to me and ask for forgiveness, and I will forgive you, and I will wipe away all of your sin and give you a clean slate, give you a white, perfect slate, so that you are made righteous and holy in the sight of God, and you have the chance to live as a new creature in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. You are a total recreation in Christ. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, it says, nothing in all creation is hidden by God's sight. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. And so, He's watching. He knows good and bad. And He knows whether you're good or evil. He knows what your true intents are. And I praise you, I commend you guys for staying on and listening to the Word of God, allowing the Word of God to come into your life and to transform you and to lead you. So acknowledge that Jesus, He sees your heart. He loves you. He is able to convict you, purify you, and strengthen you. So that's good news, guys. And with that, you should celebrate your spiritual growth. Thank Jesus for recognizing your faithfulness to seek Him, to find Him, to grow in Him, and to build your life upon His firm foundation. Celebrate it. Growth is something that is great. A lot of people become stagnant and regress. But we, in Jesus' name, we don't stop growing. We see instead exponential growth, breakthrough, and supernatural growth in our life, for it is good. Amen. So Jesus, He promises that He sees your struggles. He knows your struggle. Jesus actually went through deeper pain and suffering than we could ever. Jesus went through to the cross. He was accused. He was mocked. He was beaten. Even though He lived a perfect life, He was still hung on the cross as a criminal when He did no wrong. That's what Jesus did, what Jesus went through. Imagine that shame, that pain. It's not fair, but He went through with it. And He is with you. And He calls you to a greater faithfulness because He loves you so much. And then the next part is talking about the danger of tolerating sin. So important. Found in 20 to 23. And despite their faithfulness in some areas, the church in Thyatira was guilty of tolerating sin, was guilty with being okay with it. Specifically, allowing a false teacher, symbolically called Jezebel, influence the church. And this likely refers to a real woman, just like the Old Testament Jezebel, who led God's people into idolatry and immorality. So, Jesus, He's warning the church about tolerating her influence, noting that He had given her time to repent, but she refused. And this shows you that tolerating sin within the church or in your own life leads to spiritual decay. And that's why we don't tolerate sin. We don't want any sin at all in our life. We want to be purified completely. And we want to walk in a holy walk with Christ forevermore. We have to say no to sin. We have to flee from sin. We have to reject it, eliminate. Whatever that sin is, you have to be able to push it out of your life and repent. He said, I command you to repent. It is not just a small poke, but it's saying, repent, do it. This is the command of God. Live a righteous life, an honest life. Live a life that honors God. Not a life that just goes with the flow, with the world, and tolerates with what's going on in it. No. He wants you to stand firm in the Word. Stand firm in Christ. And also speak up against those evil influences. And don't let it enter your head, not your heart, not your church, not your community, not your family. Don't let it enter. Say no to it. Stand strong. Be strong in the Lord. And in verse 22 to 23, Jesus, He promises that He will judge Jezebel and those who are following her teachings unless they repent. What you should be doing is following Jesus' teaching, not Jezebel's teaching. And his discipline serves as a warning to the entire church, emphasizing that he is the one who searches the heart and the mind. And this is a reminder that Jesus, he's both holy, he's just, and he will not allow sin to remain unaddressed. He will address it as it is. God has no sin. And if you want to enter into his presence and you have sin, then you cannot enter it. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And we all deserve that death. But God, in his grace and his mercy and his love, gave you a gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Because whoever loves the world, they will suffer. But whoever loves God, they will receive a great gift from him. And we love him because God loved us first. For God loved the world that he sent his one and only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. You shall not go into suffering, into death, into pain. Eternal. No. You will pass, and then you will enter into his glorious heavens. He is disciplining you. He is warning you. He's giving you this because he loves you. Just think of a parent who disciplines a child and says, no, don't touch that hot pot. Don't put your hand in that fire because it will burn. It will hurt. We do this because of love. Amen. And so this teaches us, tolerating sin, whether it's in our personal life or within the church, it leads to God's discipline. And repentance is the only way to restore fellowship with him. In Joshua chapter 7, Achan hid stolen items in his tent, and his sin brought God's judgment onto the entire community of Israel. And similarly, tolerating sin in your life or church life affects more than just one person. It impacts the entire body of Christ. So Jesus calls you to confront sin and to pursue holiness in him. And so let me ask you, are you tolerating sin in your life or your community, thinking it will go unnoticed, that no one sees it? Well, Jesus, he sees all of things. Nothing is hidden from him. And he calls you into a life of repentance. Not just today, but every day you repent. You repent and you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I have done wrong. And I'll turn away from that. And I'll turn to you. And I will follow you. Repent before that judgment comes. Repent before that sin overtakes your life. Repent before there's no way out. You got to do it. You got to have urgency. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 to 7 says, don't you know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? It destroys the whole batch of dough. James chapter 4, verse 17. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do, but doesn't do it, it is sin for them. If you know the good that you must do and you don't do it, then it is sin for you. And that's why you got to do what you know is right. What you know what God wants you to do. You got to act on it. Because this is God's will for you. And God wants the best for you. And he wants a good blueprint for you to grow, to learn, and to be rescued from that eternal separation from God. So confront sin head on. Refuse to tolerate with sinful behavior in your life or your community. Say no to it. Call it out. And then repent and turn back to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. Acknowledge your sin. Seek for his forgiveness and restoration and reconciliation and redemption in your life to make you whole again, to get rid of all the sin in your heart. It's the process of sanctification, being made holy and righteous into a life that is so, so good. The best life you can ever live. The best relationship you can ever have with Jesus. You see, Jesus, he offers you grace and peace to those who repent. He's not here to shame you or to condemn you. He's here to save you, to set you free. And this discipline is meant to lead you towards restoration. It's a long game. It's a long run. We're not just thinking about something short-term pleasures or short-term gains. We're here to think about that long-term gain in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so hold fast to what is true. That's the third point. Very important. You got to hold fast to what is true. In verse 24 to 29, Jesus, he addresses the faithful people within the church who have not fallen into Jezebel's teaching. And he encourages them to also hold fast to their faith in Christ, cling on to the cross, and not let go of the truth that they have received from God. And this is a call to persevere in faithfulness, even when others around them are compromising, even when others around them are sinning and partying and just doing the things that are not of God. It is a temptation, but reject it. Say no to it. Say, I want to remain pure and holy in Him, and I will not fall into the trap of the world, because we know the trap of the world will not satisfy us. Only God will satisfy us. In verse 26 to 29, Jesus, He promised you something incredible, amazing, wonderful rewards for those who remain faithful, those who keep showing up, those who keep seeking Him. Number one, He gives you authority over all nation, or not our nation, but the nation. And this refers to the sharing of Christ's rule in His eternal kingdom. You have authority over the nation. One will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give that one morning star. One, the morning star. One, the power. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the church. And the morning star here, it represents Jesus Christ Himself. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, He is that morning star. Faithful believers will enjoy this intimate relationship with Him forevermore. And that's the good news. We will not ever be alone. He is with us right now, and He is with us forever. And this teaching, it teaches you that faithfulness to Christ leads to eternal victory and rewards, no matter how hard it may seem to and how hard it is to stand firm. The rewards of perseverance far outweigh the cost. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. And like Paul says, you too are called to remain faithful to the very end, fighting the good fight, running the good race, finishing strong, knowing that Jesus will reward you. Jesus will crown you with the crown of righteousness, crown of life, the crown of royalty. Amen. And so, let me ask you, are you holding fast to the truth of Christ? Or are you tempted to give in to the pressure of the world? Jesus calls you to persevere, promising eternal rewards that can never be stolen, that can never be destroyed, that will come through to those who overcome, to those who stay in Him. Now someone asks, does it include the sins that we didn't know that we commit? Well, if you committed a sin and you didn't know, and you still go to God and ask God to forgive you of all your sin, He will forgive you, and He will love you, and He will see your faithfulness. And you go forward, and you do not do sin. And when you go forward, you will know what sin is and what not sin is. And so, or sin, what sin not is not. And so, going forth, remain holy, righteous. Keep walking in Him. Do not grow weary in doing what's good. For at proper time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. That's Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Revelation chapter 3 verse 11 says, hold on to what you have so that no one can take your crown. So cling on to the truth of the gospel. Cling on to Jesus, to the cross. Ground yourself in the word of God and resist false teachings. And persevere in faithfulness. Trust that God will sustain you as you remain faithful to Him. And you see, when you remain faithful to Him, that faithfulness will lead to eternal rewards. Jesus, He promises victory to you who hold fast to Him. So application for today is, number one, if you didn't understand anything, listen to this. Number one, to examine your heart. Ask Jesus to reveal any areas of sin or compromise in your life and repentance that's needed. To examine it and to say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I cannot do this without you. Lord, I need you to convict me of anything that I'm doing wrong. Examine it. So if you don't know what you're doing wrong, maybe you don't, and you need God to speak to you. Let Him speak to you. Let Him change you. Let Him lead you. Examine your heart. Identify it. And then destroy it. Number two is to confront your sin in your community. Lovingly address false teachings or immoral behavior that may be tolerated in your church or community. You gotta confront it. You gotta speak out against it. If it is wrong, then call it out. Number three, to hold fast to Jesus, to cling to His truth and perseverance in faith, trusting that Jesus, He will sustain you, He will strengthen you, He will give you the power to overcome, power to keep going forward. Amen. Amen. And number four, focus on eternal rewards. Remember that faithfulness to Christ, it leads to eternal victory, intimacy with Him. We will have the crown of life, and that's the good news. Amen. So in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 to 29, Jesus really commends the church for their faithfulness, but warns them about tolerating sin and false teachings. And so we should also remain faithful and be warned about tolerating against sin and false teachings. His message, it calls you to reject corruption, to remain steadfast in holiness, to hold fast to the truth of God until the very end. So are you tolerating sin in your life or community? Think about it. Are you thinking it will go unnoticed? Will you repent? Will you turn back to Him? Will you stand firm in holiness and righteousness? Will you hold fast to Christ's truth? Turn to Him. Repent. And He will forgive you. And He will set you free. Remember that Jesus sees everything, both your faithfulness, your sin. He calls you to reject sin and remain steadfast in your faith. He calls you to walk in His ways. And He promises you the victory and eternal intimacy that will far outweigh the cost of obedience. And so, will you choose today to stand firm in holiness, reject corruption, to hold fast to the eternal promises of Christ? The one with eyes like fire, feet like bronze, who invites you to share in His victory and reign forever. Let's pray. Hello, living for Jesus. Father God, You're so good. You're great. You're amazing. We love You so much because You first loved us. You never let us down and You fight for us. You know what we're going through and You care for us. Lord God, we repent of any sin that we're holding on to. May we confront it. May we say no to it. May we reject it. May we walk in Your ways faithfully. Lord God, we long to honor You, glorify You. We long to be in Your presence. And that presence is promised when we hold on to what is true. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to the cross and the Word of God. Lord, may we never fall into the danger of that sin. When it's small, let us address it before it gets bigger. Let us address it before it becomes too big, too painful to address. Lord, You have given us strength to overcome. And Father God, we need Your strength. We need Your joy. We need Your guidance. And we call upon You into our life. There's no one like You. So we call upon Jesus, our Lord and Savior. to transform our life, to live in us, to build us up so that we can become stronger and stronger in you. There is no one like you. May you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I got to go to another meeting. May God bless you, be with you. May He give you grace and mercy. May you be blessed in all that you do. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in and blessed going out. May your kneading bowl be blessed, your basket be blessed, and all you, may you be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. And may you continue growing stronger and stronger each and every day in Christ and be blessed. We know God is good and God never lets us down. And so I'm so thankful to see some of my favorite people here. Sunflower Power, Mia Smiles, Living for Jesus, Malia Weed. Good to see you. I'm so thankful. May God bless you. And also your mom too. Good to see you. And User, amen. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Pan out for now. If you don't like this video, I promise you guys, I will do better next time. But if you enjoyed it, thanks for the like and subscribe. Take care.